this message kind of changed. It went from identity in Christ to free from curse. Free from curse. You know, it's not a secure time. But as a Christian, we can be secure in our identity in Christ. We can be secure in our identity. You know, the devil has a very easy job because it's easy to destroy something. You know, if you want to burn down a building, it's pretty easy. But it takes time and effort and resources to build up a building, to build a building. You know, the devil doesn't create, but he destroys through lies and, you know, stealing and killing. And the devil, to hurt Christians, the devil goes after our identity that's in Jesus Christ. You know, in the wilderness, the devil went after Jesus' identity. You know, because what happened was, Jesus was baptized, and his father tells Jesus, "This is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." And right afterwards, Jesus is led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the devil attacks this truth that his father gave to him. The devil says, if you are the Son of God, you know, command this stone to become bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down and see if your father comes to rescue. And in the wilderness, in this insecure time, Jesus fought this spiritual battle and won. Jesus did not allow the devil to influence him. Jesus was secure in his identity as the Son of God. He didn't have to perform. He didn't respond to the temptation of the devil. During this wilderness insecure time, we need to reject the lies and the temptation of the devil that comes to our identity. That's in Jesus Christ. During insecure time, it is so easy to focus on what the demonic is doing. When we focus on the demonic, we live a Christian life in fear instead of love, freedom, and power. This is the reason I want to talk about the security that we have in Christ, not on what the devil is doing, but focus on what Christ has done for us. Okay? In Christ, okay, number one, you are free from all condemnation. Okay? Say that to one another. You are free from all condemnation. And the passage is Romans chapter 8, verse 1. You can look it up. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, Gideon in the Bible, he was a farmer. And the Bible says, Gideon believed that he was the least in his clan and he was the least in his family. What does that mean? There was a condemnation that was in his heart. I believe as he grew up, right, in the clan, in the family, that condemnation was spoken over him. And condemnation has became his identity. He says, I am the least. And the angel comes to Gideon and tells this powerful truth. He says, the angel tells Gideon, the Lord is with you. And the Lord is telling us this. He is with us. Mighty warrior. Okay. Mighty warrior. Can you imagine? The problem with condemnation is when God speaks the truth to you, especially when this condemnation, I am the least. And God, who never tells lies, he only speaks truth, tells Gideon, mighty warrior. But what happens is that condemnation makes you not want to listen to the truth of God. Right? You know, others see you as the least. But this is the truth. God sees you as a mighty warrior. as a mighty warrior. The family and his community saw him as worthless. God calls him to save Israel. From the least in the nation, God calls him to be someone who will save the nation. So Romans chapter 8, verse 1, this is what the Lord is telling us. He says, now, okay? No matter what your past, right now, you don't have to live a moment of anxiety, worry, guilt, shame, or guilt. It says, there is now no condemnation. You know, we all made mistakes. We failed, sinned, rebelled, disobeyed. And this opens the door to spiritual attack, accusation, shame, condemnation. This opens the door to condemnation. And your security in Christ, right? Your security, your identity in Christ is not there when you're doing well spiritually, when you feel strong spiritually, okay? When you feel confident, but when you feel condemned, okay? When you feel condemned. God came to Gideon in the midst of condemnation and spoke truth. Mighty warrior. Mighty warrior. When you feel condemned, Romans 8:1 means that what does it mean? No more condemnation. You are forgiven. What does that mean if you're forgiven? You and I don't have to live a minute or a second in anxiety, in worry, guilt, regret, or shame. Isaiah 43, verse 25, you know, it's a good news translation. It says, I am, this is God speaking, I am the God who forgives your sins. And I do this because of who I am. I will not hold your sins against you. What God says in this passage is this, that I am a forgiver. Yeah? That's part of the nature of God. He says, I forgive because this is who I am. This is who I am. You know, some people, when they look at the Old Testament and New Testament, people see two different nature of God. Some people say, oh, in the Old Testament, God is angry, and in the New Testament, God is gracious. No, this is from Isaiah, the Old Testament. And God says, I am a forgiver. This is my nature. This is who I am. God does not change in the Old Testament to the New Testament. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God forgives. God forgives. But this is the good news. Forgiveness is not just there so that you don't feel condemned. The grace and the forgiveness that God gives us, the work that God does in us, the identity that Jesus gives to us in Christ. It's not just so, wow, I don't feel condemned. There's so much more. This grace, this identity, okay, this forgiveness that God gives to us gives us the power to change. Not just not feel condemned. It strengthens us. He will move through us so that we could overcome, so that we will have a new heart, so that we will be a new creation. Right? So don't stop at, I just don't want to feel condemned. God's forgiveness, his grace, right? The work of Jesus on the cross, your identity that's in Jesus is so much more than not feel condemned. Some people, to not feel condemned, drink alcohol. But it's not good enough for the Lord just not to feel it. He wants to transform our life. He wants to move through us. He wants to give us a new heart. He wants us to be more than a conqueror. You know, God's forgiveness is so complete and abundant. His grace and our identity, that's in Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, it's so powerful, you know, God's forgiveness, that we are able to forgive others. Wow. Alcohol can't do that. Did you know that? Drugs can't do that. But God's forgiveness is so powerful. His grace is so abundant, so amazing. Ephesians 4:32 says, we can forgive others. Right? You know, how do we know if we have God's forgiveness? Right? You know how? Others can see it in you. Others can see it in you. I had this question because I was thinking about this. I was thinking of my children, you know, my four daughters. Okay? How does my daughters see me? Right? I think this is an important question. Do they see me as an angry, easily upset, critical? Or do they see me as gracious and forgiving? Do they see me as a dad who's pretty much unforgiving? Or do they see me as a forgiver? As a forgiver. As gracious. Because if we have God's forgiveness, your children will be able to see it. Will see the image of God in you. You know, we bring our children to church to see the image of God. And I want to remind the parents, we have an opportunity to show the image of God at home. At home. How? Not through performance, not through ritual. The reason where other people cannot see the grace and forgiveness of God is because we ourselves have not received the grace and forgiveness of God. So I'm not telling you to perform. I'm not telling you, okay, I'm going to really try to be gracious. I'm asking you parents to receive the forgiveness and grace of God. As you receive it, God's not going to stop. He's going to give you more. And it will flow through you. And it will touch the people that's nearest you. It will touch your children, your marriage. And God's forgiveness and grace is so much, it will be like a river. It will flow to the people around you so that others can see it in you. Amen. Point number two, you know, is you are free from all curse. You are free from all curse. I struggle with this because I go, what's the difference between condemnation and curse? It's kind of similar. And it is similar, but the curse goes deeper. Right? It goes deeper. For example, rejection. Rejection is painful, right? But if you get rejected as an adult, it's not as painful as when you get rejected as a little child. Does that make sense? When you get rejected as a little child, it goes deeper. It goes, and that rejection is greater, and it becomes a curse. That's why a lot of time in our counseling, we have to go back to the childhood. We have to go back to the childhood. So curse, what's a curse? This is my definition. Okay? This is my definition. Curse is a condemnation that has become a stronghold. Okay? This is my definition. You're not going to be able to find this if you Google it or something. Okay? A curse is a condemnation that has become a stronghold in your life. Okay? And I'm going to give you some biblical example of what I see. You know, the city of Jericho. Right? God's people came into the promised land, and they were confronted with this great stronghold, walled city. It was fortified. Right? They were confronted with the city of Jericho. And to me, what they were confronted with was a stronghold, in other words, a curse. The God's people were confronted with a curse. And the city of Jericho was at the entrance of the promised land. It blocked God's people from taking over the promised land. And God's people had to overcome it in order to conquer the rest of the promised land. And God's people, in the book of Joshua, overcame the city of Jericho, not through human power, but God's power. Through God's power. How did they break the stronghold, the Jericho? Right? God told them, take seven priests, blowing seven trumpets, for 7 days, and on the seventh day, walk around the city seven times. And after you walk around the city seven times, give a loud shout, and the stronghold, this curse that's making you stuck from going any further. And that's what curses do, because it's a stronghold. It makes you stuck. Okay? It makes you stuck. Give a loud shout, and the wall came down. All right? And so, you know, again, the God's people were not called to overcome this stronghold through, you know, human weapons. God didn't go, use a battering ram. God didn't say, lay a siege, you know. That's what they used to do back then, to conquer a city, a stronghold. But instead, they were called to walk in faith. Okay. Every day when they got up to walk, what God was asking his people, do you believe my promises? That I will give you this land. That I give you this city. Every day they had to get up and walk. And what God was asking them is, do you believe in my promises? And they did, to the very end. Can you imagine? God told them to shout. Like, if I was there, oh, this is so hard. Nothing happened for 7 days. Not even a little earthquake. Not even a crack on the wall. But because you said so, God, we will shout. And they shouted, and the wall came down. Now, to break a curse, this is why it's so important that we know the Bible, the truth, the promises of the Lord. I saw a curse on Moses, because what happened to Moses in Egypt as a prince of Egypt? He failed. He failed miserably and lost everything. And I believe condemnation came into his heart. And then what happened? For 40 years, I think he stewed and thought, and the condemnation grew for 40 years, right? In the wilderness. And that condemnation became a curse to Moses. This is the reason, you know, and this is what curses do. It makes you doubt God, right? It makes you not do what God's purpose and calling for your life. Because condemnation, when it's a curse, has become your identity. Because God says, I'm going to use you to deliver Israel from slavery. But because there was a curse in his heart, what did Moses say? No. Not me. You know, not me. I thought it was just insecurity, but I believe spiritually there was a curse in his heart. Not me. Send somebody else. I can't talk. God, raise up somebody else. Not me. I can't go. But in scripture, what we see, you know, even though God came to him in a burning bush, you would think, but because it's a curse, he didn't believe. And he was stuck. But Moses, but through God's presence, Moses overcame this curse. Moses was used to free a nation from slavery. Childhood, we all have childhood and family brokenness. There's rejection, there's abandonment, there's abuse, there's neglect, there's shame. And that brokenness becomes a curse. It becomes a curse when you feel that brokenness, you can't shake it off. You can't shake off that condemnation. You can't shake off that shame. And you will hear it. It speaks to your soul. You will never measure up. You are lacking. Yeah. And there's this unreasonable fear, uncontrollable anger, deep insecurity, because it's a curse. The purpose of the curse, is so that it makes you stuck in your brokenness. It's there. It won't leave. You're stuck in your brokenness. And that's why today I want to do ministry. I want to do some ministry. And the Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit will move in this church and catalyst members in your home. The Holy Spirit will move in your home. So I want to, before we go into ministry, encourage you. The Bible says there is now no condemnation, right? Meaning also there's now no curse. Okay. No curse. Let's not wait till we feel like it. Let's not wait till we feel more comfortable or more confident. Let's start walking around the city of Jericho, that curse. Right? Meaning, let's walk in faith right now, today, not tomorrow. That believe that you are a new creation, that you have a new beginning, that we have a fresh start. That I'm not going to listen to what our past brokenness says to us. We're not going to listen to the media. We're not going to listen to the social media, the bully that was in our elementary school. Not what our broken self tells you. Not what the devil lies to you. But we're going to listen to what God says, what the Lord says. Not the old condemnation and curse, you are a mistake, you are tainted, you can't change, something is wrong with you. But thank God, God gives us another revelation. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's temple, His dwelling place. God lives in you. You are sanctified, redeemed, and set free. You are born again. You can do all things through Christ Jesus. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? If you could come up, we're going to you know, to identify some of the curses that's in our life. What we do when we're rejected, when we're in pain, when we're so hurt, when we're being spiritually attacked, is one thing that we do, there's an inner vow that we make. You know, not because of Jesus, but because of the rejection. We make this inner vow. You know, think about a boy who grew up with a very angry father. You know, the father's anger was taken out on the boy and the rest of the family. So the boy grew up hating the father. And a bitter root developed in his heart. And from that bitter root, he made this inner vow. I am never going to be like my father. And we all understand, you know, why he made that vow. But you see, what happens is the root is from bitterness and hatred and pain and rejection. That vow was made. And because that vow was made because of rejection, the pain, the neglect, the anger, the root is very strong. So what happens, this is what I see happen. Because it became a curse, this boy eventually carried his father's anger and become the very person that he disliked. I see this all the time. There's this inner vow that you spoke out. Identify those inner vows. Holy Spirit, show it to us. Another way to identify the curse that's in our life is, you know, I teach this all the time in agreement. You know, you give power to what you agree with. If you agree with bitterness, the bitterness becomes a curse. Becomes a curse, and then your life will reflect that hopelessness. If offense, you agree with the offense, then it becomes a curse. Your life will be filled with offense. If you agree with lies, lies will become a curse, that lie. And that lie will have power over your life. Ministry, we need to go the opposite way. We need to agree with truth. And the Bible says truth will set you free. And truth will have power over you. Adam and Eve agree with God, and guess what? There was blessing. There was intimacy and wholeness, health, purpose. Authority. And the devil came into the garden and lied to Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve agreed with the devil. And there was a curse that fell on earth. Because we agree with the devil. There was a curse. There was a fall. Sin and death came. That's all. over our life. We're going to break that curse. Let's worship the Lord.